This is a hard thing to preach what I have on my mind today, because it's hard to take a man being a sinner and teach you about the sins of a man. But I want you to see the sins of a man and the grace of God, that we can see our sin and the grace of God, the purpose of God, remembering that salvation was purchased on the cross. Made mention earlier, I'd been reading some this week about David. David was called a man of God after God's own heart. He was the eighth son of Jesse. When God took the kingdom from Saul, God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse. The seven sons passed before him. "He's not this one, it's not that one," God told Samuel. "Look not upon his height nor upon his stature." He said, "I, the Lord, do not look upon men as you do. I don't look at his height or his stature. I look at his heart." And we also see that God fashions the heart. With that point said, this man David was the man after God's own heart. He was the man that fight the giant, slay him, Goliath. He was a man that desired to build God a house because the ark of God dwelled within curtains. You see the righteous desire upon his heart by God's grace. So therefore we realize this man is truly a man after God's own heart and a child of God. We see God blessing David and saying, "And God does not bless the wicked." We see God telling David that, "You will not build me a house. I don't need you. I don't need a house. You're not going to build me a house." But that his son would build him a house. And we know that Solomon built the temple and the beauty of the city. And that God told David that upon his throne there would sit a son of David upon the throne. And that all through the time of Judea, where David took the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David, that is Jerusalem. Christ came from Judah, from Jerusalem, as far as lineage goes. Christ would sit upon the throne of David. There can be no doubt in Scripture to any born-again child of God who has the ability of God to understand the love of God, to have it manifested, to have it in his heart and see it and know it, or without that you cannot. There's no doubt that David was a child of God, or is a child of God. I can say much more about that, but I want to get into my text just to make the point of David. We turn to 2 Samuel 11, and this is going to be some reading, and I do pray, bear with me and pray for me. We find in the first verse that there had been a war, and as always, God had delivered David, God had delivered Israel in the war. And we understand that beginning in verse 2. Let me make this point. God had given rest unto David from his enemies. God gives us rest today. We need to realize our nature when God has given us rest, because when we quit looking to God for help, oft times we fall. David was a man, a child of God, one that God loved. He was the king of Israel. He was a prophet, but he was a sinner. He was an humble man, but he was a sinner. Verse 2, "And it came to pass in evening tide," that's before dark, "in that day their houses had a flat top roof, and one would sit upon the roof in the morning or the evening, in the cool of the morning or evening. A place to rest, a place to talk, a place to meditate." We see many times he went upon the rooftop. That's not a pitched roof, that's a flat roof. But David, at evening time, sometime before evening, sometime before dark, David arose from off his bed, because many of them in that day, as was custom, would get up with the daybreak. They'd take a nap in the middle of the day, then they'd go up on the roof sometimes, or they'd go back to work. David awoke from his nap and went back up the roof, went up to the roof. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. David is a man who is blessed of God, who knew God, who had God manifested unto him. We can read the account of Bathsheba, and if we believe what many believe and teach in the world today, we would have absolutely no comfort. We would also have absolutely no truth, because we would come to the conclusion, if we judge ourselves by the law, that David very probably went to hell by what they teach. But that's not the case. Salvation was finished upon the cross. Those that died in Christ before Christ was crucified were saved by the same blood of Christ that those that have followed after are saved by. There's no other way to come unto God. There's only one name by which men must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and His blood. David looked across and saw this woman, and he inquired in his mind, isn't this Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Uriah was a warrior. Many places in history record him as a valiant warrior, a strong warrior, and was loyal to the king and loyal to Israel. David sent messengers to give you a character of the man Uriah. David, being king, was far less righteous in this text than was Uriah. You bear that in mind. Does not negate the fact that David is a child of God. Does not negate the fact that God worked His purpose with David. Christ, who today sits upon the throne of who? David. David sent messengers, took her, she came unto him, he lay with her. He was then purified from uncleanness, because in Leviticus 15, when a man and woman come together, they had to wash and be unclean until the evening, till the night, till the sun went down. And then she returned into her house. The woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Okay, consider the problem. David has taken this woman who's married to someone else. David has violated the law of God. We see also that Bathsheba, the Bible does not say she resisted, so we must be brought to the knowledge that he convinced her to go along with this. You can't lay the blame on her because he did all this. You know, Adam said, Lord, the woman who thou gavest me, she gave me to eat, and I did eat. Not only blaming it on the woman, but blaming it on God himself who gave him the woman. If you'll read the Psalms that David wrote of penitence, 32nd Psalm, 51st Psalm, 103rd Psalm, David makes no excuse in his repentance. And godly sorrow leadeth thee to repentance. David said, I have sinned. I have done this great evil in thy sight. That is godly sorrow. That is repentance. That is true repentance. She told David she's with child. So David's mind, the flesh, Satan starts working within him. He's already been at work. So David sent down to Joab. Joab was a son of one of his daughters, I do believe, but he was the commander over the army, a great warrior. He sent unto Joab and called Joab back and said, send me Uriah. As David thinks in his perverseness of the flesh, trying to save himself and Israel and the woman and Uriah from this horrible knowledge of the horrible feat which he has done. David sent for Uriah. Uriah came and David said, how's the war going? How's the war going? You got to imagine that he didn't know what to say or think. What a thing to say. You know he gets reports daily on the war. Because Scripture records they go back and forth daily giving him reports on the war. First place, David should have been at the war. and not in his house, as he was supposed to be as a king, this would have never happened. When we get lax, when we get easy, when we begin to think of ourselves and not God and not his kingdom and not his people, things like this happen because the door is opened. Heard said 1,000 times, you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. Yes, he will. David said to Uriah, go down to thy house, wash thy feet, go into your house, take this meat and feast. You're a warrior, you're mine. I am buttering you up, I'm building you up, I'm filling you with fleshly pride. Take this meat and go down to your house and sleep in your house tonight with your wife. In David's mind that he'll sleep with his wife, the child can be blamed. Oh, not blamed, but laid to the credit of Uriah and Bathsheba. That's the way Satan causes a mind to think. When we do not stay in Scripture, there's a reason God told them to wear the commandments as frontlets before their eyes. There is a reason when we do not constantly seek God's righteousness and His kingdom, we are prone to err and prone to fall. There is a reason the New Testament says, let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Uriah was such a valiant man, he didn't go home. And I've read commentaries where people say maybe he knew what was going on. I don't know. I can't say that because I'm not going to tell you something the Bible does not say or imply. Uriah was such a valiant man that he did not go down to his house. He slept outside the king's house. They had a place where servants and soldiers would sleep, like a bunkhouse. They told David the next day, Uriah went not down into his house. David said unto Uriah, comest thou not from thy journey? Why did you not go into your house? Listen to the words of the valiant man, Uriah. Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and to drink, to lie with my wife, as thou livest, and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. The Jews. One reason Maccabees is not included in the Bible. It's not inspired Scripture. The Jews wrote them. The same lineage of Jews in their flesh, hardness of hearts, not mixed with faith, in order to justify David, said that, give many reasons. One, that Uriah was worthy of death because he disobeyed the king and did not go home. Just one reason to justify David. There was no justification for David. There's no justification for me. There's no justification for you. There's no justification for sin. Christ did not justify our sin. Christ saved us from our sin and condemned sin in the flesh. Understand that. Uriah said, the ark and all of Israel and my lord Joab and Judah are in tents. I will not go home to my wife while they're fighting. David said, Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. Let's get on through the text. David called him before. They had a party at night. He ate and drank. They made merry. David thinking he'll get drunk. His mind will go down to his home and his wife. And this will be solved. This will be over. But brethren, I'm going to tell you something. God will suffer things to happen. God does not cause them, but God will sure cause you to sorrow from it. And God will sure make it to where you're not going to get out of it without suffering the wrath of God. Didn't say eternal hell. There's no way you can say God sent David to hell. The Jews, or Peter there, speaking to the Jews in the second chapter of Acts, talk about David being dead in his sepulcher. He's a child of God. He was the king of Israel. There's no way we can put David in hell. But look at the suffering ahead. To those who say you can fall from grace or fall from glory, you need to understand, we pay for our behavior here. As I said last week, that David Powell said, we have responsibility. With ability comes responsibility. The Lord said, unto whom much is given, much is required. When we disobey, when we turn aside, When we don't totally seek the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might, we are susceptible to Satan, who walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Our nature is that way. Our thoughts are that way. Every imagination of our heart, evil by our nature. But nothing can separate us from the love of God. Came to pass, verse 14, David wrote to Joab, this hadn't worked. What's he going to do? He's getting desperate. He said, you send Uriah down to the heat of the battle. You send him down that he will be killed. And look who he sent the letter by. Can we see depravity displayed any more than this? That he sent the letter to Joab, the captain of the host, by the very man Uriah, who is sending down to be killed. Tell me it's not possible for a child of God to fall. Tell me it's not possible for a child of God to suffer, to fall, to turn away from God. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people, the servants of David, and Uriah was killed. And Joab sent a messenger to David. You go tell him the shape of the war. You go tell him what's going on. And if he gets angry, then you tell him that Uriah is also dead. Because that's what David had desired. And we find David's response to the messenger. Verse 25, David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, listen to the casualness of this. Perhaps David is feeling some sense of relief. I've done wrong, and now I've done wrong again. I've sinned against Bathsheba, and now I've sinned against Uriah, and now I've killed him. I've had him murdered. I don't see relief in that. I see shame, but at this point in time, David is wrapped up in flesh. He doesn't go to hell. He suffers payment. What do we take from this? One, a child of God cannot eternally perish. Two, a child of God can fall in this world and will not if we turn away from the grace of God. David said, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make the battle more strong. Go fight. Take the city. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned. 7-day period of mourning. Sometimes they would cover themselves in black with a hood. Sometimes they would lay upon the dirt. Sometimes they'd cover themselves in sackcloth. Sometimes they would cover themselves in dust and ashes. Different ways they mourned. And when her mourning was past, David sent, just kill her husband, and fetched her to his house. Listen, I'm not picking on David. David's a far more righteous man than me. We made mention last week of the Apostle Paul, who persecuted the church of God, compelled them to blaspheme, put them to death. And when God struck him down and God gave him repentance, he went forth preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in great peril. We talked about Peter, who denied the Lord thrice, a great sin. But when the Lord looked at him, when that cock crew the third time, he went out and wept bitterly. Went preaching to the Jews and then to the Gentiles, after God had to pop him in that hard head that Gentiles were his people also. Because we keep resisting in this flesh. And Peter was tied up in the law of the Jews and could not allow that a Gentile would be a child of God. And God told him different. But my point is, sin, we are all sinners. Peter was crucified. Legend has it upside down. We're none righteous. No, not one. Now David sent and fetched her to his house. She became his wife and bare him a son. Thing that David, not Bathsheba, the thing that David had done. Go back to Adam. I hear people condemning Eve. God did not make covenant with Eve. God made covenant with Adam. Adam rebelled against God. David, the thing that David had done, displeased the Lord. The Lord sends Nathan to him. Nathan tells him about a rich man that had exceeding many flocks and herds. He had everything. The poor man had nothing except one little lamb, which he bought. He purchased. He loved it. He fed it. It ate with him. It lay in his bosom. And it was unto him as a daughter. He loved it so much. One little lamb this man had. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. And he spared not. He spared the rich man would not take out of his flock to feed this traveler. He took the sheep of the poor man. David was king. David had authority. In David's self-righteousness and his anger, it was greatly kindled, and rightly so. It probably should have been kindled, but vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The Lord gave commandment regarding theft. Death was nowhere in it. It was restore it fourfold. And David said, this man shall die because it angered him in his self-righteous indignation. Not thinking about, because he's all wrapped up in self, like Brother Steve told us, what he had done. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. I have thought many times about how Peter wept bitterly when the Lord turned and looked at him. This was all the will of God that Christ should die. But Peter denied him three times. I cannot imagine the grief in Peter's heart, but I can know the grief I've had in mine in times past. I can think about David, thou art the man. I cannot imagine. But brethren, there is repentance. How did it come? You want to talk about preaching the gospel, the importance of it? By the word of the prophet, telling him, you are the man. What do we preach from the Bible? You are the man. God loved you. See, he just told us while you were at enmity, he died for you. Because he loved you. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the house of Saul and gave thee thy master's house, the master's wives in the bosom, everything Saul had, all the kingship of Judah and Israel, both eventually. Gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. If that had been too little, I'd have given you more. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do this evil in thy sight? Do we realize David's sin against Bathsheba? Do we realize David's sin against Uriah and the murder of Uriah? But do we even more so realize the sin against God? For God created, God loved, God blessed David, Uriah, and Bathsheba. He did it against his own soldier, a valiant man of Israel. Can we see the sin against God and the reason that he says here in a moment that he gave God's enemies reason to blaspheme God of heaven? You've killed Uriah with the sword of the Ammonite. You've taken his wife to be thy wife. Now you want to talk about living in hell in this world? You want to talk about recompense for sin to a child of God? We will not suffer in hell. There will never be a child of God that will fall from grace. Jesus said, my sheep are in my hand, and my sheep, they're in my Father's hand, and no man plucketh them out. God said in Isaiah, to go along with that text, rather a prophecy of that text, I have graven thee, you yourself, on the palm of my hand. And that would be his right hand, because it is the power of God. Man, did he not suffer? Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. I'll take thy wives before thine eyes and give thee unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. We will find, I think, in chapter 16 of 2 Samuel, where Absalom lay with his father's concubines in a tent in broad daylight. Yep, 16. Of 2 Samuel. In order to defile his father's name. We see the sword not departing from the house of David. We see his daughter in the next, in the 15th chapter, who was raped, no, the 13th chapter, Tamar, was raped by Amnon, his daughter raped by her brother, and she was shamed. And then Absalom killing Amnon, the sword would not depart from his house because of the evil that he had done. And then later, Absalom being in the tree hanging from his long, pretty hair and was slain. There is a recompense for sin. I will say that to all. I've been through this myself. I've been punished for sin. We've all been punished for sin. But take joy in the fact that the Lord chasteneth those whom He loves. And if you're not chastened of God, then you're not a son but a bastard. Now, I'm going to move on to a text in the Psalms in just a moment to give you David's repentance. God said, you did this secretly. I'm going to do it before all Israel and before the sun in the sky. It was daytime when Absalom took his father's concubines into the tent. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. We may sin against each other, but we sin against the Lord. That's why in Matthew 25, as Steve has taught us about charity, he said, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? Because you visited the sick, you clothed the naked, you fed the hungry. When you love God's children, you love each other. When you act charitably toward God's children, you act charitable to each other, you do it to God. And as much as you've done it unto them, and as much as you've done it unto me, he said. David had sinned against not only them, but God. Nathan said, I love this. The Lord hath put away thy sin. 32nd Psalm, David said, blessed is the man whose iniquity is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord doth not impute sin. A man dead in sins cannot say that because he does know that. Let me hit the 51st Psalm. You want to see sorrow? You want to see repentance? Read David. The 32nd Psalm was written after this. The 51st Psalm is too. It'd take a week to preach it. I'm not getting all into that. But this is the beginning of repentance. When Nathan prophesied to him and he realized that he had sinned against God and Nathan had told him he was going to suffer, there was a recompense for sins. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Am I the only one here that prays every day, God help me? I hit the floor every morning, Lord, thank you for this day and keep sin away from me. Be merciful. Help me. I'm a sinner. I'm prone to sin. I'm prone to fall. I hate myself. I hate this life. I want to be with Christ in heaven. Help me, Lord. Surely we've all prayed that from one point to another. Wash me. Cleanse me. I know I'm clean in the blood of Christ because I love you and you love me or I would not love you. But wash my walk, cleanse my walk, cleanse my behavior. Help me to be what you have anointed me to be. I acknowledge my sins against thee, and thee only have I sinned. Since I was shaped in iniquity, he said, my inheritance is sin, and you desire truth. Purge me with hyssop. Do you know why that's there? Because in Exodus, I believe, chapter 12, when God was going to come through and destroy the firstborn of Egypt, he told them to put the blood of the lamb upon their door. They put the blood of the lamb they sacrificed on the door. Who did we sacrifice? Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God. They put it upon their door with the stem of the hyssop. And God passed over. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. I'm depraved. I can't be clean. I have no righteousness of mine own. If I have it, it's imputed in Christ. Help me to walk in it. Create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. Do you see any self-justification? Oh, you see a self-condemnation. By the grace of God, realizing he'd sinned against God in heaven. He said, my sin is ever before me, I'll promise you. Or at least I believe, I'll say it this way, I can't read another man's heart. David said, my sin is ever before me. I read people saying that his sin was before him as long as he walked in sin. Brethren, we sin till we leave this body. He that is dead is freed from sin. As long as we walk in this world, our sin is ever before us. We cannot forget what we have done in this flesh. We live with it. And it consumes us. It makes us sorrowful. And God uses that sorrow to godly repentance. That's called godly sorrow. Teaching you the righteousness of Christ. When we mourn our sin, it's because we see Christ high and lifted up on the cross of Calvary. And then we see him high and lifted at the right hand of the majesty on high. And then we must, there's no other way, see our sinful, depraved condition. And we see that God has saved us, never to fall eternally again. May we walk in righteousness here. Then will I teach, and here's the reason. Transgressors thy ways. I love you, Brother Steve. Every time we talk, you talk about teaching people at work. What did David say? Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You want to know how to have people desire coming to the church? Well, you can't make God's children. God has prepared the heart. But teach them the ways of God. Preach the gospel. Live the gospel. Walk as Christ, as he just told us. And sinners will be converted. Let me go to the 103rd Psalm. And I'll close with that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do you ever have a moment in time where you may be alone and you realize your sin that's ever before you, things you don't forget, never will forget, things that have happened in life, things you've thought, doesn't have to be an act of commission, things you've thought. I battle my thoughts every day. I hate them by my nature. Desires, hatred, things of the flesh. And then when you see God delivers and has delivered, because he always does, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here's the cry, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless Jesus while in mortal flesh. Yes, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It's all to Christ. It's all for Christ. It is all about Christ, period. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. But let's go a step farther. Who healeth all thy diseases. He has forgiven you on the cross. He does forgive you daily. He will heal you from that. Didn't say. I heard a man say one time, well, you just got to forget the things you did in your life. I cannot forget the things I've done in my life. And I tell you, I don't want to, because the Bible teaches me when I've got rest for my enemies, then I'm going to turn to myself. As long as these things are in my mind, as long as they're in my heart, and the sins of my very own flesh against the righteous God of heaven. It keeps me ever mindful and ever looking for Christ, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He heals us spiritually, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. There's the body of Christ which we feed upon, so that thy youth is like the eagles. He closes this in the 22nd verse, as bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You cannot fall from grace. You can temporally, in the sense of justifying yourself by the law and living by the law, which you cannot fulfill nor sustain, but you cannot fall from God eternally. I'd like to give you a verse in Romans 8, beginning in 33 and going down to the last verse. Height, depth, life, death, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. Nothing can take a child of God away. David and all his sorrows because of his sins, David and all that he did and all that he suffered in life because of his own actions, because of his own doing, is a child of God, was a child of God, chosen of God in Christ before the foundation of the world, anointed of God, walked through his life in great suffering, great sorrow because of his own works. His heart was right before God because of God's grace, as is yours. But I can tell you this, his body's in the sepulcher because Peter testified of that in Acts chapter 2. But his soul with Christ in Lord, with Christ the Lord in heaven and in immortal glory, awaiting the day of the resurrection. You cannot lose your eternal life.